And welcome to Gravel Talk, ladies and gents. Thank you for joining us.
Well, this week in the Spotlight and Squared Circle, we are sitting down with
Greg Gagne, the son of Vern Gagne.
We're sitting down with Larry the Axe Henning.
We're sitting down in the Spotlight and Squared Circle with Ryan Owen,
Darren Corbin,
Zach Gowen.
We're sitting down with Dick Justice.
You're listening to Gravel Talk, keeping you up to date on the Midwestern independent wrestling.
And we are live!
Welcome into Grapple Talk, ladies and gents. My name is Nick Ragnar, joined by Jesse Von Rudin, AC Riley to my left. Guys, we're scrunched over on one side of the table this week. We're trying to get a little bit closer as the holidays near.
Trying to feel that
body heat a little bit.
Yeah,
and, excited to be here, guys. We got a lot to talk about today, some national stuff. We could even hit on some local stuff as we were all at shows this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's going to be a good show today, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Really quick, before we get into anything else, make sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter at The Gravel Talk. Just posted the upcoming shows happening this weekend on the Facebook page. On Twitter, we always post results for the independent wrestling area to post the indie power rankings. So make sure to follow us and stay up to date on Gravel Talk.
Yeah, you really kind of benefited from that this weekend. You went 2-0 and actually finished number 4 in the rankings. How you feel about that?
Feel pretty good. It was kind of cool the write up just saying that, you know, if I hadn't become People's Champion, I would have been at number 9 just because of the 2-0 ranking.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really that solidifying that, you know, voting for who you want every weekend to win that People's Champ vote, like, it's not just a throwaway vote. It actually means something. So it's really cool because I think this is the second time I've been number 4, and it was a long distance away, so it's kind of nice that instead of just saying, oh, honorable mentions, people chant vote. So
apparently, in a world where everybody says titles don't matter anymore, they actually do matter somewhere.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. It's kind Absolutely. Of goofy sometimes how the voting process actually works. Sometimes it's actually weighted if it's title offenses or you're actually taking on a name. And victories and multiple bookings during a week.
Or if you are a name.
Well, victories and multiple bookings during a week will actually, you know, in the eyes of the committee, it's pretty good stuff.
So every time ESPN has a guy on that has a vote for the Heisman or the Naismith or whatever, they always ask him who they're voting for. So, Jesse, who's the Heisman this year in indie wrestling?
I don't know.
Oh, you're terrible. You're a terrible indie power ranking voter.
Yeah, I don't know if I got a guy. Probably, if I had to do an MVP of the indie scene this year, it's probably Chris Hero.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Hands down. The guy basically works everyone. He works anywhere, and he's putting on some of his best matches right now.
Love it.
Who's your Heisman?
I don't know. I'm not a voter. I don't have a say. I'm just a speculator.
Okay, if you're a speculator.
I don't know. I've done nothing. I don't make votes, man. I just
watch. I wasn't viewing this as who's the Heisman because he's an Indy Power Rankings guy. I was saying who's the Heisman just as a personal opinion. I thought that's how you were having this conversation.
Yeah, I think he's asking basically
he has a vote.
Committee type of thing.
Yeah. Right,
but, you know, as a 49ers, the guy who's going out west, you know, the prospect, who you got?
I don't know, man. I don't like me putting on the spot, dude. Like,
oh, come on.
Like, these past few weeks have been rough. I haven't been keeping up with, you know, pro wrestling, let alone, like, indie pro wrestling at all.
I think it's the new job. You just don't like being put in the interviewing spotlight.
No, I like it, actually. It's a lot easier than having to do the interviews.
Doesn't he just keep you up, you know? Like, doesn't like Alex be like, hey, man, this is what's going on?
Honestly, I barely talk to him outside of Grapple Talk. So.
He doesn't leave you like voice messages with like mini Grapple Talks. He's like, hey, AC Riley here with Grapple Talk.
We live with each other and we barely talk to each other.
He usually is in his room doing something. I'm usually in the living room watching sports or playing video games, and it's kind of like just our solitary moment.
We also have like different sleep schedules at this point because now you have the new job that you get up at normal hours, so to speak. So,
well, you're going to throw him underneath the bus for having normal hours?
No, though? I'm glad that he has normal hours because I got to say that if I had the opportunity to not wake up at 3:30 to go to work, I would take it in a heartbeat.
So now you're going to make yourself a martyr for waking up 3:30 in the morning?
Yes, absolutely.
This guy over here.
I'm pointing at myself.
So, guys, this past week, something I wanted to talk about a little bit because, you know, I haven't had the chance to keep up with Raw and SmackDown and NXT and things like that, so I can't quite comment on what's going on. The happenings, I know.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
I read dirt sheets and things like that, but I'm not able to watch the actual product. And you know, like review sheets. So I kind of know what's happening, but I'm just not able to watch it.
Hey, welcome to the club, man.
But yeah, you know, I think that's kind of the life of a lot of, you know, maybe people that work like 50 to 60 hours a week.
Yep.
But I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about RCCW this past week, Tricks and Treats. It was a really good show, guys. Obviously being in La Crosse, don't really have too many road stories to share since it was a good 10-minute drive to the venue. But, Jesse, you didn't have a chance to be there, but you were able to be there afterwards. I mean, the reception that you heard from a lot of people was what?
I heard the show was a hit from almost everyone. They were very, very excited about the number of people who came through the door. especially for that main event.
Yep.
It's good to see that this feud they've been able to book between Sadus and Devlin Kane has really paid dividends.
Yep.
Because sometimes you don't have feuds pay dividends and bring in more asses to your venue. But this feud really did.
Yeah.
And I think it's almost a shame that the date schedule for next year kind of shifted a little bit. Because it actually might limit some of the talent from making it back over here, which is a shame. But, you know, kudos to the RCCW booking committee. One of them's probably sitting right next to us.
No.
So we can't give him too many kudos.
No.
But the fact that they can build something, especially here in La Crosse, where a lot of people say this scene is dead, they're doing a hell of a good job.
Yeah, the real nice thing is I think the last count was it was nearing 200. I don't know what the file number is. Alex probably does because I think you talk with the guys that book RCCW on a consistent basis.
Yeah, usually.
But I'm pretty sure from what I heard that night it was nearing 200. I don't think it broke 200, but it was nearing 200, which is pretty good. Which is pretty good. I mean, especially for, you know, just like you said, I mean, for the longest time, the idea behind lacrosse wrestling was that it was dying, essentially, that no matter what you did, you couldn't book. And we saw that. I mean, when 7RW was booking, for the most part, I mean, there were a couple of well-drawn shows, but, I mean, there was
a reason why they were migrating to Winona.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't drawing extremely well, and we've seen that here in RCCW. There has been a couple of shows, lower numbers, but it seems like some of these past few shows, I mean, yeah, you're pushing, you're over 100 every time, which is pretty good, especially for a market that's growing.
You're flirting with like an average of maybe somewhere around 130, 150 per show, which is really good.
Yeah.
It's not bad considering that you see other shows that are lucky to maybe have like 25, 30 people.
Yeah, and the thing about RCCW, which I don't think that they've tapped into yet, is the college market. I mean, that's something that you see when we go to ACW. You know, obviously BCW has their kind of their regulars down there. But when we go to like ACW, you know, we see a lot of those college kids, a lot of kids coming over from UW Oshkosh looking to have fun on a Friday night, and they'll stop in ACW. And I think that's something that I don't know how you do it if you're RCCW, but it's a market I think you need to tap into, especially the advertising of, you know, alcoholic beverages, a great venue, great homemade food by some veterans, by the way, which, man, they made some sick burgers.
Those burgers were delicious.
Burgers were great. I think that, you know, marketing to some university students, whether it's flyers on campus, which I'm sure they already do, but there's got to be some way in which you can tap into that and get and drop some interest on a Friday night. Because, you know, the best way to do it is, hey, you guys are already going downtown as it is, so start your night off right with some wrestling action and, you know, heckle some guys. Even if you don't like wrestling, it's always a fun time.
Yeah, and it's funny, too, because how many times have we had friends or, you know, just talked to fans that, you know, we'll always do that. Oh, this is my first time going to a wrestling show, but, man, I had so much fun. It was really entertaining. Some of these guys were just ridiculous to laugh at, all that stuff. And that's the thing that we hear all the time is that you don't have to be a wrestling fan to enjoy a wrestling show. You know, obviously it helps, but at the same time, you can go with a group of friends and just be entertained.
Yeah.
You know?
Here's the thing that's great about what RCCW is doing, and it was definitely evident in the show. I know you weren't able to be there, Jesse, but the one thing, and I don't know if you guys can agree with me or not, I'm going to get kind of real. The one thing that plagued lacrosse wrestling, maybe this side of the state wrestling, was it always seemed to be lagging behind what was happening on the other side of the state. I mean, whether that's talent, whether that's storylines, it just the promotions being ran, it just always seemed like there was something missing. And now it seems like, talking with some of the guys in the back too, I'm not going to name any names, but some of them say they really like coming to lacrosse. They love the locker room, they love the atmosphere. I mean, the matches that are getting put on, you're seeing they're pretty top-notch throughout most of the card, and I think it's definitely like a change in perception in what we're seeing in lacrosse, because now, instead of lacrosse being considered a B-league, you know, compared to some of the guys that are from that side of the state, I'm hearing a lot of these guys are willing to come over here opposed to going over there, which says a lot, I think, for what, you know, that they're doing at RCCW.
I think what really helps with that is just the fact that, just like with the other A-League promotions, you know, that we're referring to, is that there's that consistent venue, there's that consistent home where you can do a storyline where people are going to be familiar with it. There's going to be advertising to essentially establish that even if you missed the last show, this is what happened, this is what you missed on. Because I felt like when we started in the wrestling business that there were so many places that, you know, you'd be in one place and then, you know, and the next show would be 3 hours away from there. And then the next show would be 2 hours away from that venue. But still, you know, they keep rotating because they're trying to find a good venue spot. And then as a result, you couldn't really do storylines. You couldn't really establish characters because what was going on is that you had to essentially start from scratch every time.
The great thing I think, too, about RCCW and you talk to some of the guys in the back that have worked all over the state, and I think part of it is, too, like the fan base. You know, you have a lot of those fans that are so committed and so, you know, invested in the characters. I mean, I think there's a lot of people in lacrosse that, you know, think what we're doing. Like, you know, they think El Ducho is literally a dude from Mexico. I literally had a conversation with a kid that goes to the show. And by kid, I mean he's probably like 16 or 17.
Yeah, I talked
with him. And he's like, hey, it was good seeing you at the show, you know, whatever. And I was like, oh, yeah. You know, I was out of my element. I wasn't in gimmick. I was like, oh, yeah, man, thanks. I really appreciate that. He's like, yeah, man, that, like, new, like, Mexican dude or whatever that's managing AC Riley, like, oh, man, he's – what a piece of work he is. And I was like, yeah, man, it's always come from Mexico. And so he's like, yeah, it's so weird. And I was like, oh, man, people are still buying the magic. And that's kind of what's kind of cool, I think, with lacrosse.
Which is always really nice that you have fans who can buy in. As you guys alluded to, like, the magic right now with RCCW is really – the consistency of the booking the same venue, not being stagnant with your talent, being able to take some risks.
Yeah.
And it's really paying off.
And I honestly, like, I think that this show, one of my favorite parts about it was that, you know, it was flirting with 200s, which normally, like, you only see big numbers, like the biggest number when you bring in a name that everybody wants to see. But it was great that there were no names on the show. They were flirting with 200, and it was because people...
Well, Eugene was on the show.
Well, I mean, I don't think anybody was there for Eugene, let's be honest.
Shots fired.
Wow, dial up the heat meter.
Shots fired, sure, but at the same time, it's like, you know, it, just based off the last show that they had in September, is like you had Eugene on there, you had Bob Orton on there, you had Grandmaster Sexy on it, but everybody was talking about the feud between Sadus and Devlin Kane. You know, people were like, oh, Bob Orton, that's cool. Or even my favorite, who's the Bob Orton-looking guy in the poster?
Oh, great.
That's Bob Orton. But, like, most people were talking about Sadus, Devlin Kane. That's the match that they wanted to see. That was the match that they were going to feel bad for missing the casket match. So I think it was great that, you know, there was the name draw, so to speak, was two guys in the independent scene that were draw. You know, they were booked like stars, and it paid off. And I think that was one of the greatest things to see, was just that, you know, there was a solid show, and they weren't just excited for the main event. I mean, even in the pre-show, it was Trey and one of Eugene's rookies from Midwest All Pro, and the crowd was still alive for that one.
Prince Ali.
Yeah, Prince Ali. So,
he's,
I mean,
good talent.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that, you know, pre-show, people are showing up and everything. They're still kind of, like, getting adjusted, but they were into it. And, like, the crowd was loud for the pre-show, and obviously they were hot for the main event. So it was great that the crowd wasn't just, oh, we're waiting for this match, but we don't really care about anything else.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Jesse, we missed you, man. But you allowed me to be able to wear commentary with Mr. Troy Leske, and that was awesome.
Oh, cool.
Man,
I'm glad
that
you guys had fun. Maybe
had
I
lot
just,
of,
like, miss out on more shows.
A ton of one-liners to each other. It was great because I was working my heel gimmick, and I made fun of him, and then he kind of got aggressive. It almost scared me. I wasn't sure if he was being real or not. He was very good character
in between,
on commentary.
He's like, did I cross any lines?
Brother? You want some Diet Pepsi?
Hey, man, it's all good. You want a cup?
You want a cup? You want some Diet Pepsi, man?
Yeah.
That was great. And then, you know, like, he'd sit there, like, we're, like, literally recording. He'd take his headset off, like, hey, can you get this guy some Pepsi? Like, it's like trying to get me some drinks and stuff. And I was like, Troy, we're, like, come on, dude, getting gimmick.
Yeah.
It was great, though. I love it. Working with him's great, though.
He never offers me a Pepsi.
Because
maybe you should cut more promos with him in his basement.
Maybe you should wear a scarf.
Packer room.
Wear a scarf and look like an idiot.
Heard,
you already have
like
half that down.
Yeah, nice. Shots fired again.
Alrighty, so that does it. At least for that conversation, we'll move on. You know, RCCW, great show, but we don't need to sit here and.
One thing I do want to get to really quick, just before we move on, Jesse, you were actually at BCW the next day.
Yeah, I was.
So talk about that a little bit. So they had the costume battle royal. They had the Jim Boyd Memorial Tournament. Talk about that a little bit. How was that?
Yeah, it was always a fun show. The Halloween show for BCW is always a good time. The costume battle royal, you're always kind of amazed how the creativity they can have with that. They had a running gag all night where Stacey Shadows dressed up as a banana and Brandon Blaze was a monkey, and they would chase each other around the building all night. The tag tournament was really, really well booked for what you had. I don't know if it was like a lack of, like, maybe some guys are double booked somewhere else, because I think the original plan was to have, like, Jake Durden in that tag tournament, but he couldn't make it.
Yep.
So a few things got moved around, but I thought the tag tournament came off really well. It was really kind of cool to see Hardcore Impact. They went like almost full Road Warriors. They had the shoulder pads, everything.
I saw that.
Yeah, they did that at Pro Wrestling Blitz too. And
that was really awesome to see. Good to see Melanie Cruz back there as well. Sierra's keeping on. She's getting better and better in the ring as well. They got something really special down there in BCW. I know a lot of people like to give them flack and stuff like that every once in a while, but they got something really special. They really stick to their guns with their talent and their core, and the fans appreciate that. The fans always show up. They do a good time. They have a good show, and it's always good to see them.
Yeah, and you'll notice that Frankie pubbing Thumper's Den quite a bit, and I mean, sometimes he'll go live and kind of show what the talent is doing or what they're learning, and it seems like they have a really good crop of upcoming wrestlers in their farm system.
Yeah, one of the nicest things, too, is they're paying their dues the right way as well. They're part of the ring crew. They're tearing down. They're setting up. They're setting up chairs, doing security, doing all that stuff.
And you don't even have to ask. They're just doing it. Like, you turn around, they're already tearing down.
That's the way it should be.
That's what's nice, because, you know, when you think about it in that sense, you have these trainees tearing things down, you know, putting up the chairs, and it just almost it increases their drive to want to do it. That they're watching in that ring, because you know if you have like that kind of a school where sometimes you have the trainees are there, but then they don't really help out with the show. It's like I don't think they learn to really appreciate what it is that they can be doing, and it also, like I said, I think a lot of that too just increases their drive to want to be.
There.
Definitely. Like, yeah, there. Eventually, and that's what I think they're doing a great job of.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure they must have said something about it, but Jim Boyd, that was Ashley's dad, correct?
Yes.
And that's really cool that they did something for him like that, because I remember one of my first conversations with Ashley was, you know, kind of talking about, you know, her dad and how, you know, her dad essentially made the Bruisers what they were, because like he back in the day he was a huge fan of tag team wrestling, so you know, if it weren't for a guy like Jim, you know, the Bruisers wouldn't have been a hot thing, because you know, he wanted to see these guys tag up because he loved tag team wrestling and everybody loved him. So it was really cool to really honor his memory by doing, you know, by having a tournament of the style that he loved the best. So I mean, that was really cool.
Yeah, it was definitely really good. It was very emotional for Ashley, too. They brought her in the ring, and she did the
really
introduction
cool.
for the tournament, and you could tell she was holding back tears the whole night.
Oh, really cool. Really, really cool thing that they did over there. Really,
yeah.
Definitely
you guys
remarkable.
Also had a double dip for RCCW down
I did.
In Chaseburg. How was that? How was Pumpkin Fest? How was wrestling outside?
I'll say this much.
Pumpkins.
Considering that this was booked a couple months ago, absolutely fantastic weather, considering that they had no idea what the weather was going to be like.
Yeah, you guys lucked out a little bit.
Yeah, there. It was like 70 outside. It was an outdoor show and everything, as you mentioned. It was a fun time, though. Basically, so there's the Codgers Bar that's like, you know, on the road, and then you know, across the street and like up on a blacktop is where you put the ring and everything. That's where we had the ring. You know, people would stand, you know, they could bring chairs that they wanted to, but there weren't chairs supplied. Right next door to Codgers is where the Pumpkin Fest ceremony was going on, so people would just walk over there and hang out and watch some free wrestling. It went really well. Good turnout for it, and apparently RCCW was asked to, you know, be brought back next year.
Next year there's going to be like 3 inches of snow.
Yeah, I mean, most likely, because, you know, lightning doesn't strike twice in the sense of good luck with weather. But it was interesting, though, because I guess next year, Pumpkin Fest, they want to, you know, they want RCCW to bring midgets and women's wrestling and all that stuff. And, you know, it was one of those things where they was like, well, they're expensive. And just like, name a price. So
the cool thing about Pumpkin Fest, and I know we have to move on here, but the cool thing about Pumpkin Fest is that it was a first year festival. And they want RCCW to be a part of it moving forward. So if this Pumpkin Fest or whatever starts actually growing into something, you know, that's pretty big in the area.
Pumpkin Fest?
You know, to the great Pumpkin Fest, you know, RCCW has a chance to always be a part of that and be in that discussion, which is pretty neat. They can kind of grow with the festival just a little bit. Obviously, AC Riley going to be at ACW along with Devin Klein, or
Devin Klein,
also known as Devlin Kane.
My favorite wrestler ever.
They're going to be there on Friday, and then I'll join you guys on the road for RWA on Saturday. And Jesse, you're going to be knocking out some DVDs this weekend probably, or just
probably,
hanging out watching football.
You assholes always are like, hey, Jesse, can I get a DVD, brother? No, brother, you just asked me. I don't have any fucking DVDs on me. Sorry, brother.
Speaking of Prince Ali, did he message you yet?
Of course he did.
Yeah. It was we were at the show.
I loved it. Hey, I heard you're the one who taped the show. I wasn't fucking there, dude.
Yep. I don't know where he got that from. He said,
"Like, who's from this?"
No, he asked me who's the guy to talk to about DVDs. I was like, "Jesse Von Rudin is the guy to talk to about DVDs."
I love Prince Ali. He's a great kid. You know, he's only growing in the ring, and he's learning from one of the best. But I loved it. So before the match, it was, you know, I was doing El Ducho. I was doing the gimmick.
Wait, you're El Ducho?
Yeah, we do this every time, Riley. I am El Ducho. Okay,
fucking salty.
Wow, this guy's got an attitude problem.
This guy's
over
a cat.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
So, anyways. I'm working El Ducho, and we're on the outside. We're kind of like talking about whatever. I'm going to introduce Trey, which, by the way, it was way too long, but I don't care anyways. We're sitting out there, and like maybe six times Prince Ali comes up to me. Hey, man, just, you know, make sure like you get heat. I was like, yeah, I know. I'm a heel. I'm going to get heat. No, he goes, hey, man, so like, I don't know, maybe like say something about like everybody's like weight, you know, just try to get some heat. I was like, yeah, no, I know, dude. I'll get heat. And then the last time, you know, after like seven times, Trey was actually biased, and he's like, yeah, man, so like when you're on the mic, just make sure you get Trey's like, dude, he knows. He's been working here for like 2 years. And he's like, oh, sorry, man. I was like, I've seen you at every show, dude. Like, how do you not remember me?
Well, you were wearing a mask.
I guess. Maybe he was believing in the magic, too. I don't know what it was about. But he's like, man, who's this Mexican guy? I hope he can speak English.
All masked wrestlers look alike. You know?
But yeah, like he's a pretty cool kid. But anyways, so that does it for the local stuff. Speaking of tag team tournaments, BCW had one, but we also got a big one happening right now at NXT. And you know, some of our predictions were correct, and some of them were wrong.
Yeah.
And you know, it's still looking like it's going to be yet again, you know, one of the classics.
I think it's interesting that I think we mentioned Austin Aries' injury to his eye last week when we were talking about the predictions. But it's interesting that like we kind of still thought that that might not actually take effect because of the taping, obviously. Completely forgot about the Revival's injury because obviously we saw that at the house show.
Yeah.
But I didn't. I guess I didn't realize how long that injury was going to last. So go figure the two matches that. You know, we're you know, maybe sure, we don't know yet, end up ending in injury result, and then Authors of Pain and Sanity went to the next round as we anticipated. But that was kind of obvious at the same time, though.
Yeah, so, I mean, yet again, I think we got a good Final Four here, and, you know, I have to know, you think if you're a tag team, you know, if you're not Finn Balor and Samoa Joe, right, like last year's winners who eventually, you know, collided heads. But if you're like a traditional tag team, if you're an Authors of Pain, a DIY, a TM61, a Sanity, and you win this tournament, do you think that shoots you up the ladder? Should you have a tag team championship shot? Would that make no sense storyline if you didn't get one? Because technically, if you win this tournament, you should technically be crowned the best tag team in NXT, correct?
Yeah, you would probably be in line for the takeover following Toronto.
Yeah.
Which would be probably the San Antonio one.
Yeah, I mean, because if you look at this, it's almost like how the King of the Ring was booked, where that winner would face the champion at SummerSlam, because they were considered the best wrestler.
Except for Mabel that 1 year. Fuck that dude.
Exactly. But, I mean, back when Austin won the King of the Ring, he was considered, like, the best guy in the WWF.
WWE.
He was the guy to look out for.
He was the guy to look out for based on the fact that Triple H was in the doghouse. H would have won that.
But, I mean, you take away the backstage politics of it all, and you're watching as a fan, and you see Austin, you know, take his acceptance speech as King of the Ring, you're like, this is the guy to look out for. You're not like, oh, well, you know, Triple H was in the doghouse, and that's why, and everything. Because, I mean, even
now you probably would say that.
Oh, wait, now you'd say it. But, like, even if Triple H were to win it all, you'd be like, oh, Triple H is the guy to watch out for.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doing it for Eddie.
Doing it for Eddie, man. Yeah. So, Jesse, there was a couple of other topics that you want to talk about today, and I'm going to be busy drawing things, so why don't you bring those up?
Oh, cool.
You
guys are a bunch of artists
here. All right,
here.
So one of the big ones that actually came through the wire was actually the recent – that is one big America Dream schlong. Was the recent partnership that Impact is going to be having with Fight Network coming up here, and basically they're phasing Billy Corgan out of that role he was in, and that's a dick inception he just drew.
Yeah.
That's the dream. Motherfucking
what do you like?
Dream.
You like that?
I don't think Dusty Rhodes likes that.
This is why you had to take over the podcast so I could do this stuff.
Distracting everybody.
So the Fight Network now actually has
why we can't
some
go
major
Facebook
stock
Live.
Into Impact. AC Riley, what's your thoughts on this going forward for Impact? Basically, they were almost left for dead by everyone, and now they actually have a financial booker a backer, basically, who owns a network.
I think it's interesting just because we've seen, just example with Bound for Glory, the fact that they almost didn't have any money, and we've seen the stuff between Dixie Carter, Billy Corgan. We saw the rumor about, you know, WWE getting the tape system from TNA. So it's interesting to have kind of a new player in the equation. Hopefully it works out for them, but I guess we can only find out as, you know, time progresses. So I guess fingers crossed, because, you know, for everybody that's saying that, you know, TNA should just be, you know, disbanded or whatever, that's people's livelihoods. You know, mm-hmm. There's a lot of people that are, you know, making money there. That's their job. And, you know, that's the thing, is that we wouldn't have broken Matt Hardy if not for TNA. So I think it's one of those things that, like I said, hopefully Impact stays alive. Hopefully they're not going to get shut down, and hopefully they actually have some money pumping in. So
I hate to be that guy, because mm-hmm. but we talked about it, and I haven't been able to keep up with some of the news. You're talking about TNA getting bought up by Fight TV?
No, the Fight Network.
Fight Network.
Oh, out of okay. Canada.
Fight TV is what puts on Fully Loaded Wrestling.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought.
And also promotes Fat Venom. Fight TV does.
What the fuck is he talking about?
I don't know. I never know what he's talking
and
about.
Okay, so a little bit of the backstory of it is, any time that Fight TV is promoting Fully Loaded Wrestling, they use the promo shot of Venom before he lost all that weight.
So he's just called Fat Venom?
Well, that's how he's captioned by everybody that is like, why are you using Fat Venom? And he's like, that's Fight TV. We don't have anything to do with the graphics. So for whatever reason, Fight TV uses the Fat Venom graphic for any of Venom's matches, even though he looks nothing like that anymore.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Hmm. That makes more sense.
Sorry. Yeah. It does. But anyway.
It still doesn't make any sense. It's just an old promo picture. I mean, if they want new promo pictures, just ask Skinny Venom.
But they have them. That's the thing. I'm pretty sure they have them, but they're not
good?
Using it. Yeah. They're the stuff that gets used at WrestlePalooza.
Is Venom kind of like Jonah Hill, where people liked him better when he was fat?
You know, I don't know for sure.
Didn't Jonah Hill get fat again?
Probably.
Did he?
He probably did.
Is Venom going to get fat again?
You know who's not fat?
Who that?
Zach Galifianakis. He's really skinny.
Yeah.
He is?
Like, really
who's
skinny.
That, who's that guy at Matt TV? Will Sasso?
Will Sasso.
Yeah, he actually, I remember he did that actually on Matt TV, where, like, he was really fat, he got skinny, and then he's like, oh, you're not really that funny anymore. He's like, all right, I'm getting fat again.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Will
made
Sasso.
Made a huge sketch where he just...
Sometimes he shows up in random television shows, and I always get excited. I'm like, Will Sasso.
I get excited because I know who he is, but I can't put the name to the face.
Really?
Well, that, like,
Will Sasso.
I know, but yeah. it's one of those things where I don't see him on TV for a while, and I'm like, oh, man, that's that one guy. And
so
like,
you start acting
Will
like
Sasso.
A dog.
Sassy Will.
Sassy Will.
Sassy Will.
Him as Austin was great in Matt TV. That was entertaining.
Who?
Will Sasso, Steve Austin.
What?
He actually did
bit
on SmackDown,
right.
Like actually on SmackDown, too.
That's right.
Making fun of Steve Austin, got the stunner for his troubles.
That is correct.
That is correct.
So that should be interesting to Fight Network, basically.
What do you think about
Canada.
It, Jesse?
They needed something. They even lost, like, basically their UK TV deal this week as well.
So saw that.
This is good for them. Hopefully they can get back on their taping schedule and come up with something worth a damn heading in 2017.
Definitely.
Definitely. Yeah.
One thing I wanted to bring up to you guys, because I'm looking looking up some news coming up here, and hopefully this isn't...
You're just looking at porn.
I'm looking at porn.
I thought you said he was looking up some nudes.
Hopefully this doesn't break your spirits a little bit. Hopefully this doesn't break the fourth wall for you that, you know... Spoiler alert! If you don't want to be... I don't even know what I'm saying. Now I can't even talk. It's been confirmed that Undertaker's making his return in a couple of weeks for the 900th episode of SmackDown.
Oh, cool.
What do you guys think about the Dead Man returning? Is he going to have an opponent at this next WrestleMania? Because talks are that he's had some difficulties over the summer, but then there's been other things that have surfaced that he looks great.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Jesse?
I don't know.
The Taker, man.
We'll find out.
Taker under. Yeah. Take her under. Where?
Nice.
That's what a panty rainer says. Yeah.
Is that your new character now?
Yeah.
The panty rainer.
No, take her underwear.
Take her underwear.
Take her underwear.
Take her underwear.
Longest name ever.
Bung.
Oh, my God, my panties are gone.
Bung. Damn.
That's the
those are expensive ones. Take her underwear, my God. Oh, my gosh. Somebody stop that man.
Boogerang.
It's like the lights turn out. The lights, you like show up and you have all the undies. Lights turn out. Lights turn on. You're just gone. You vanish.
Gone.
He's just gone. You just stole all that underwear. Unbelievable.
You got a Paul Bearer just holding up a pair of panties and you're like.
Oh, What a crazy gimmick that should be done somewhere.
Somebody's probably going to do that now.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's already been done.
Well, if you do, send us some pics.
Send us some pics at thegrappletalk.com.
Yeah. Yeah. Tweet us.
Tweet us at thegrappletalk.
You can drop it in our DMs if you wanted to.
DM us. Yeah. We get those all the time. Swipe left, swipe right, tweet, twatter. Tinder. You guys know what I'm saying?
Sure. Do you know what you're saying?
I don't really know.
Yeah. Well, that'd be cool. If he comes back and he actually has an opponent at WrestleMania, that'd be really awesome. It's a big show coming up here for the WWE with WrestleMania just around the corner. 900 SmackDown. I can't believe they actually had 900 episodes. That's a lot.
Does that blow your mind a little bit?
A lot. How many? God, they've been on the air since, what, 99?
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Yeah, it is. You know, I kind of personally hope that Taker comes out and all of a sudden you just hear... Boom, 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 boom. It's like Goldberg. He comes out there and he just spears Undertaker and like breaks him in half. And then Goldberg's shoulder falls off because he is also old. These are old jokes I'm making for you, Jesse.
They are very old jokes.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope that's what happens. Nice. It'd be great. And then both guys are injured and completely out to WrestleMania and they can just hook up at WrestleMania. Have like an old man match. They can play like polo or something or whatever those.
Shuffleboard.
Yeah. I'll tell him, you're next for a game of shuffleboard. He's like, if I can make it to the ring, because I'm old, I use walkers.
Bong.
Bong.
I don't know.
When Taker dies, how many jokes do you think there's going to be about?
Oh, there's
going to
be. There's going to be a ton.
It's gonna be sad. No, probably not.
It's going to be terrible.
They're going to have like the most touching of videos for The Undertaker.
And it's going to be like...
And you know how it's going to end?
How?
Finally. The Undertaker rests in peace.
R.I.P. Yep. Dead man. Yep. For real this time. And then all of a sudden his corpse will come reanimated and just out of like a coffin. It's oh my gosh!
It's a skeleton on a fucking motorcycle.
Oh my... No, just reliving all the worst memories possible. Yep. That'd be great.
Yeah,
I kind of like the American Badass Undertaker.
Yeah,
to be honest.
It's not too bad. It was good stuff. Who would you want him to face at WrestleMania this year?
That's a great question. Yeah. You know, I always thought the Bray Wyatt dream matchup would have been great. Like if Bray Wyatt would have went over, you know, just because it builds that character. It's like passing the torch on to that next scary dude. You kind of know what I mean?
Yeah.
We talk about it. Seems like we talk about this every year about when this time comes up because we've been doing the show for what, like 3 years now or something.
It's probably too long. Yep.
But you know, I would not like to see Goldberg if you want to go that route.
Mm-hmm.
I think we talked about it a little bit, and I don't know. Is Jay Cena even worth it anymore? I mean, can they have the quality of match that we would have expected from them 2 years ago? Had it happened,
I think with John Cena where he's at orc wise. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Him and Taker?
It's either John Cena and Taker, or Taker and Asuka.
You think so? Asuka just kicks the crap out of him?
Yeah.
How about Bayley? Think about that.
Bayley and
how about Eva Marie?
Ugh.
Oh.
Bayley hugs the Undertaker, and then he's just like, that's all I wanted.
He's like,
I just wanted to hug.
That's what I've wanted this whole time.
I think that's an episode of Camp WWE, guys.
Is it really? You know who I hope he faces?
Who that?
Mordecai. I've been praying for that to happen since Mordecai first debuted on Velocity.
Should have saw.
Never made it out of Velocity. He was a Velocity superstar. Great stuff on Sundays. I was like, this guy's going.
I thought
places.
Velocity was on Saturday.
It was on Sundays.
I thought no Heat was on Sunday.
I don't know. I thought they're on the same day. I have no idea.
No.
Well,
Velocity was on Saturday, and then Sunday Night Heat was. On Sunday, obviously.
All I know is that
because
Velocity,
it'd be right before the pay-per-view.
All I know is that Velocity was SmackDown's Heat.
Yeah.
You guys ever miss Heat? Now we're just talking about things that don't matter.
Yeah, basically.
We don't have a guest today.
I did enjoy Heat because it was kind of like that pre-show pay-per-view. It was like, hey, you know, we're hanging out here before the pay-per-view starts, and oh, hey, that we're gonna see a little bit of matches. Hey, make sure to get bad blood on the pay-per-view or get the pay-per-view now and all that stuff.
I always liked Heat because it was
like cool. I'm not going to be able to watch
Raven
it.
Was there.
Yeah.
It's like Raven still works for WWE.
Yeah.
This is awesome. This is great.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they could do now. They could sneak like old performers in that like just don't, you know, it's like.
Oh, they do that on SmackDown and NXT. So.
Yeah, they do. Yeah,
they don't really sneak them in. They're just like, Goldberg's back.
Yeah. It's like, oh, hey, look. It's Sunday Night Heat and our first matchup of the night is Bob Holly taking on, you know, some other
Jim.
Guy. Jim.
Taking on Jim. You know that guy.
It's like, who? Great. I'll watch this. This is good stuff.
Gotcha.
Great stuff. Taking on Jesse.
Oh.
Jesse Von Rage.
No.
Yeah.
No. Jesse Von Rage.
Jesse Von Rage.
No.
All right. Well, we do not have a guest today.
Nope.
So we're just going to keep on talking, but we're going to take a quick break because we have to do that, I think. It's part of the show. So we'll do that, and we'll be right back with more Grapple Talk after this.
This is Stacey Shadows.
We've said it numerous times that Stacey Shadows is one bad bitch.
And you're listening to Grapple Talk, the best indie wrestling podcast right now known to man.
This is the Monster of the Midwest, Sadist. There's a couple of things I really, really like. I like to hurt people, and I like Grapple Talk. So I'm going to keep listening.
What's up, guys? It's one of three of your favorite wrestling podcast hosts, AC Riley from Grapple Talk here. Are you a listener or even a host of another podcast and you just don't know how to get the word out about the podcast? Send us a promo advertising what your show is about to grappletalkpodcast@gmail.com. And if you're not a podcast host, but maybe something independent wrestling that you're looking to get the word out about, shoot us an email with your promo as well. We don't discriminate. Let's face it, it's tough for the small guys to get the word out. So what better way than to band together with fellow small guys, aka advertising on a podcast? It's that easy to do. Just send a promo to grappletalkpodcast@gmail.com and we'll make sure people know about you, your podcast, or maybe something else related to independent wrestling. Hopefully you're enjoying the show. And as always, support independent wrestling.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Chris Lockman, host of the Smark Money Wrestling Podcast. Join me and my co-host, AJ Jensen, each week as we discuss all things professional wrestling. WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground, New Japan, as well as the local indie scene here in Wisconsin. We'll also bring you interviews with some of the Midwest's up-and-coming independent stars and where you can see them in your area. You can find us on SoundCloud and iTunes, as well as on Twitter, at Smark Money. Check us out.
Hi, this is the Minnesota Madman, Doug Meyer, host of the wrestling podcast on the DVM Podcast Empire.
One Ball Radio.
We recap Raw, NXT, Ring of Honor, and other shows of the week. We interview wrestlers, go back in time with this week in wrestling history, and we go, hey, whatever it happened to. Check us out on iTunes or DVMPE.com.
For the latest pro wrestling news, keep it locked to www.gerweck.net. Gerwick.net. Pro wrestling since 1997.
Hey, Grapple Talk listeners, this is Chris from Spot Monkey Media. Are you a professional wrestler, a promoter, a business owner? Spot Monkey Media is graphic design for the wrestling professional. We offer design services for t-shirts, event posters, 8x10s, logos, and even ring gear. But if you're not in the wrestling business, we work outside the ropes. Go to spotmonkeymedia.com for more information. Spot Monkey Media, create your legacy.
Hey everybody, it's me, Darren Corbin. I've always gotten the question, why do I not do my own podcast? Well, I've branched out and I've tried to do Wrestling Reflections and the Wrestlers Reviewing Movie Letter, plus my promos that I flood your feed with all the time. And the number one reason is, when it comes to podcasts, everyone can always find a way to hear myself talk, and there's numerous podcasts out there, but I want to give my endorsement to one very special one. And that'd be Grapple Talk, that covers a lot of the Midwest independent wrestling highlights. See, a lot of the local Midwest wrestlers are the spotlight of the Squared Circle hosts. And that would be Nick Ragnar, Jesse Von Rudin, and AC Riley. And every week on iTunes or Podbean, you can catch their podcast. So I just want to give them a shout out. So if you're asking me why I don't do podcasts and you're maybe looking for my opinion, check them out for all your podcast needs and take a look and keep supporting independent wrestling in the Midwest.
What's up, guys? This is professional wrestler Rennie D.
And this is Travis Dirty Mester.
We're the hosts of The Pencil, the professional wrestling podcast every Tuesday.
On iTunes, YouTube, Podbean, and Stitcher.
We bring you guests from the WWE, TNA, and all the major independent wrestling promotions around the world.
Follow us on Twitter at Pencil Podcast or on the World Wide Web, PencilPodcast.com.
Hey, this is Dave Dynasty from the Dave Dynasty Show. Hey, check out our weekly podcast, where you get my take on wrestling headlines, I answer listener questions, and I interview your favorite independent wrestling stars. You can find us at www.davedynasty.com or look up The Dave Dynasty Show on iTunes, SoundCloud, and YouTube. Thanks for your support.
Hello, wrestling fans. Colt Cabana coming to you live from the 1 Hour Tease Arena in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. The pro wrestling action has been great so far. As you can see, Joey really dominating the ring so far. There's a beautiful belly-to-back suplex. And looks like Joey's shirt has been ripped.
What's up with that? You ripped my shirt.
Let's go check an instant replay, see exactly what happened. There you can see Joey's shirt ripped from the collar, and that's not good when you're trying to wear your pro wrestling t-shirt.
Man, you ripped my shirt. It's my only shirt. Joey.
Hey, looks like Ryan from 1 Hour Tees just threw Joey Ryan a brand new t-shirt.
Thanks, Pro Wrestling Tees.
ProWrestlingTees.com, over 3,000 wrestling t-shirts designed and sold by pro wrestlers. Wrestlers such as Steve Austin, CM Punk, Macho Man, Mick Foley, DDP, Andre the Giant, Jake the Snake, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Scott Hall, Ted DiBiase, Colt Cabana, Joey Ryan, Cliff Compton, and the entire Bullet Club. All stores owned by pro wrestlers. Support pro wrestling today and visit ProWrestlingTees.com.
Tune into the Indie Power Rankings reveal every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio, Filling the Void Radio Network. You can also subscribe to Filling the Void Radio Network on iTunes. Give a follow to the Indie Power Rankings on Twitter at Indie Power Ranking, no GS. Instagram at Indie Power Rankings. On Facebook, facebook.com/IndiePowerRankings. You can also go to the website where you can see the top 10 for the week, the tag team top 5. Anything else independent wrestling related, IndiePowerRankingsIPR.wordpress.com.
Hello, fellow bar patrons. This is the Ring of Honor top prospect, the Beer City Bruiser, Matt Winchester.
And the Beer City Bruiser, no slouch. Many regional titles, came here with a reputation.
And you're listening to Grapple Talk.
Welcome back to Grapple Talk, ladies and gents. Thanks for kind of coughing over my introduction there.
Anytime.
Oh, you can just do it again.
It's time for Wrestler's Perspective. I'm not doing anything again. I'm one take Nick. Nick one take rags is what
Come
they call
on, man.
Me.
And we botch this podcast every week.
We botch it every week, and that's why I like it.
Yep.
Maybe we'll be on Botchmania someday. I don't know.
No.
Yeah, you're probably right. We're not that good at botching. AC Riley, question I want to ask you. It's a discussion I had with a couple of guys this past weekend because Jesse brought it up a little bit, and it's something that's going to be pretty it's been pretty big over the past however many years, but it's going to be even more prominent over the next couple of months.
Getting tested for herpes?
Mm-hmm. Mm. You don't necessarily – you're not going to have this problem over the next couple of months, but having the opportunity to get booked at two different locations that you work at on a normal basis, what is the deciding factor for a guy like you when that situation comes up?
Honestly, first come, first serve. That's been kind of the policy.
That's your policy.
That's my policy. That's also the policy that's been kind of handed down to me when I got brought in. A lot of it is that the first person that talks to you about the booking, you give that booking to them. If anything changes where something else comes up, they have to cancel on you, they have to cancel the show, then you give the priority to the other person. The only time I've ever broken that rule is the necessity of it. You know, if it's I get booked one place and I'm just kind of going to be there and I'm not going to really do anything, I'm just going to be there. And then another person's like, hey, you know, we need you for this part of the storyline that you're a part of. Then at the same time, I'll ask the first promoter, you know, just kind of give them a situation, everything. And if they're cool with me missing that show, then I'll do the other show.
So what is your opinion then on guys that don't share that philosophy, guys that are more or less trying to look out for, I guess, in essence, themselves, trying to make sure that they're getting the best deal. Whatever that best deal is where they're going to go. Or if they have if they have allegiance to somebody else and they choose that booking, even if that booking comes later, like, what is your opinion on stuff like that?
I would say that in a lot of situations like that, I mean, like, I can't, you know, tell them that they're right or wrong because for them, it's they're only able to determine what's right or wrong for them. You know, I can determine what's right for me. I can't say what's right for you or for Jesse. But in their situation, the only thing I can say is just be careful with that. Don't be accepting bookings and then backing out, because then you're going to start getting a reputation that you're not going to be reliable, because promoters talk to each other. Promoters talk in general, especially with social media. It's super easy to do. So if it's like, hey, look out for that Nick Wagner guy, you know, make sure that he's for sure confirmed with you, because he has a knack of, you know, accepting the booking, and we'll get him all settled. Then 2 weeks later, he backs out.
Well,
so, and then it's like, oh, he'll be at the other show. So yeah, just be careful with that. So it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, if that works for everybody, great, but just be careful with it, because, you know, you might be getting the best deal, so to speak, but eventually that best deal is going to end up being your only deal.
Ooh, good. Ooh. That's good phrasing.
Thank you.
That's this week's Wrestler's Perspective, brought to you by nobody, because we don't have any sponsors. Jesse, what's up with our tape study this week?
Oh, this week in tape study, we talked about Chris Hero and how great of a year he's actually having. Well, we got a match from Evolve that they actually just popped up for free on their YouTube site. It's Chris Hero taking on Matt Riddle, former, you know, UFC fighter Matt Riddle, who's actually making a lot of waves right now in the indie scene. He's one of the guys who you want to kind of keep your eye out on.
Cool.
Because he might be a big star here within the next, like, probably 3 years.
Nice. Cool. We'll check that out on the Facebook page, facebook.com/grappletalk, at The Grapple Talk is our Twitter handle. Ace Riley, closing comments.
Just looking forward to another double shot, and then looking forward to going to Rise Wrestling in Berwyn next Thursday. That'll be a good time.
You got anything else on Friday and Saturday or no?
Next week.
Nothing
on Friday next week, but Saturday, that is CPWE. And that's the first show Dave Bell's running in Forest Lake, Minnesota. So
right.
Be interesting.
Now, is Forest Lake really nice? Is it close to Ham Lake?
Probably. Let's be honest. Hams. I think, actually, I don't know.
They make hams.
I'm sure it's in that neighborhood. I don't know exactly.
From the lake.
Yep.
It's the same lake. It's just a different jurisdiction. Like, at one point, it's ham, and then it turns into a forest, and then, I don't know.
I feel like you're just making stuff up. Yeah.
I totally made it up.
Ham's lake is real.
It would be better if he's like, well, you know, like, Ham Lake's a little saltier, you know, and then it goes into pork.
There you go.
That would have been better.
That would have been a lot better. But I know that it's in that that region, because I know that Ham Lake is roughly 2-ish hours away. Forest Lake is about 2-ish hours away. So I'm sure that they're in reality.
Same direction?
Yeah, probably.
Cool. All righty. Well, that does it for this week on Grapple Talk.
Since you're going to be gone next week, can me and Nick do this show solo?
If you want to.
We've never done that before, have we?
I don't think so, no.
Interesting. I might actually watch wrestling for that.
Yeah, Yeah.
Thanks. Is this a wrestling podcast? I don't even know anymore. What is it?
Notes.
You might bring notes in?
Yeah.
We'll just talk about fantasy football.
All right,
cool. First ever Grapple Talk, only fantasy football episode.
You know what's going to be? Oh, Nick, my team sucks.
Yeah, that's probably, you know, I started off 5-1, and now I've lost like 3 games straight, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to miss playoffs. So, life happens.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Shit happens, bro.
Probably throw money in a toilet and just flush it, because that's exactly what's happening with fantasy football. Yeah.
Unless you're James Mozick and you just like walk away with like $900.
Yeah, because that guy does that. It makes me hate Sundays though. Like it sucks. Yeah. And seriously, man to man on Grapple Talk, I'm announcing this. Like I think I might pull out of fantasy football next year.
I
might only be in like one league next year, opposed to being like 8. Because right now, honestly, when I watch football, I can't stand it. Like I just get so angry about everything.
And I can confirm that for the record as your roommate, because on Sunday I could hear it's like, oh great, Mr. God. Damn it! I'm just in my room, and I have the TV on. I think the TV is pretty loud. And I could hear him like he was literally right next to me.
Yeah, I get pretty upset, you know, because it's like you're sitting there, and it's like, you know, this guy Melvin Gordon's projected to score like 6 points. You know, it's the fourth quarter; he's only scored 3, and you're like, oh, dude, like this is great. I mean, I'm in line to like not even have to worry about football for the rest of the day. All of a sudden, this dude catches a 40-yard pass, you know, up the middle, like. 6 20-yard runs, and all of a sudden, touchdown. He has, like, 25 points. And I'm like, there goes my – okay, all right, we're done.
The worst is, like, when you need guys to do well, but you're also playing against them.
Oh, I hate it.
You want them to do
happens
okay.
Every week.
Yeah.
Every single week, there is some guy, some key guy on one of my teams that I'm playing against in another league. And it's like, who do I cheer for? So that's when I start making league orders. So I'm like, well, this league, I don't really care if I win in that much. But this league, I really want to win this week. But
You know what I figured out what really helps me on Sundays, Nick?
Drinking.
Yes.
At least you're honest about it. That's a good point, yeah. Probably some of that would help a lot.
Oh, a lot.
Alrighty, I'll take some of your advice. But yeah, that does it for this week on Grapple Talk. We'll catch you guys next week and maybe make some more sense right here on the Grapple Talk Podcast Network. Grapple Talk Podcast Network.
We're
six.
A network now?
Nah, let's make
we're,
stuff
we're,
up.
We're channel 6
yeah.
on the Grapple Talk Podcast Network.
Yeah. Grapple Talk Podcast Network 6.
Mm-hmm. Channel 5 is actually the TV channel.
.net.
.net.
Yeah.
.org.
They still make .nets anymore?
They do, yes.
For what reason?
There's like net,
org,
com,
gov,
triple X.
What is CC? I've seen that a few times.
CC.
Com.
I think that's a Canadian thing.
Oh.
CA is Canadian.
Well, that's Canada.
Yeah. So obviously it's Canadian.
I've never heard of CA. I've heard of CC.
Yeah, I've seen a CC, never CA.
You seen a CA?
Yeah, I've seen CA.
Yeah, CA is also California initials.
Yeah, it's also short for Canada.
Well, I mean, you could technically say that CA is short for anything that starts with CA. You could say that
CA
is short for carrots.
Mm-hmm.
Like CA
carrots.
Is it carrots.com? Carrots? Carrots.ca?
Carrots.ca.
It's all carrots all the time, always.
I'm looking at this up right now.
All orange. All everything.
All orange. All everything.
All orange everything.
Yep. Mini, baby, regular.
Yeah, it's like clip converters at .cc.
Oh, there's not a carrot.ca website. Sorry.
This guy.
Actually, it probably took him to a site where a guy was eating a carrot.
I don't want to talk about it.
He's like, I'm going to look at this later.
Bookmark.
Bookmark. All righty. See you guys next week.
Thank you for tuning in to Grapple Talk.
I would say the traditional one.
something like that. I don't know.
What was that?
I don't know.
Beatboxing by A.C. Riley, not available in stores for good reason.
With Nick Ragner, A.C. Riley, and Jesse Von Ruden.
Man, we just got some stuff for the blooper reel, that's all I'm saying.
Our entire podcast is the blooper reel.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.